Are we ready?
No.
No? Okay. Hold on, everybody wait.
We're good.
It's my mic. I don't even know if I need this, except for Barbara maybe, right? Yeah, my mic isn't. Oh, there we go. Now we're going. All right. How you guys doing tonight? All right. Well, let's begin our night with prayer then. Father in heaven, Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity to come together as we are. Thank you that we can still do so freely. Just pray for your power in that and perhaps maintaining that. But Lord, regardless, we will gather and thank you for the fellowship that we can enjoy as we do. We do ask you, Lord, tonight for your guidance as we continue looking at this topic of how to share the gospel. And Lord, as we go through some things that are, I guess, intricacies, some things that are very general, either way, I pray, Lord, that you would hone our skill as ambassadors of yours to share it in a way that it would be received. Lord, that we would not be the hindrance in someone not listening. So, Lord, again, just ask your blessing upon tonight, and may it be honoring to you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Homework. Your homework for last week was what?
2 Corinthians 5:21.
All right. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Memorize that. Anyone want to give it a shot? Richard.
It's going to be a little difficult. It's a tongue twister to me or a memory twister.
Okay, okay.
For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that in Jesus we could become the righteousness of God.
Okay, all right. Very good. What translation is that, by the way?
Richard's
translation. All the words were there. All right, that's okay. No, I can relate. In fact, I think I shared last week there are a couple of verses that I have memorized that are kind of hybrid between translations. Anyone else want to give it a shot? 2 Corinthians 5:21, Mitch?
2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
All right, all right. Anyone else? Amanda, go ahead. All right, Sean, is your translation any different? Okay, all right, very good. All right, what was the week before's homework? What verse?
Romans 3:23.
Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
All right.
Romans 3:23.
All right. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or come short of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This week's homework, your memory verse, is. And of course, these are all gospel related. So any of you who have perhaps shared the gospel on a somewhat regular basis, you probably already have these all locked in. But it's Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. All right. All right. The gift of God is, eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Very good. All right. So that's your homework for next week if you don't have that one locked in. Romans 6:23. Just a few review questions. In fact, let me park there for a minute. Homework. We talked about possibly inviting an unbeliever to a social event of some sort in order to get to know them. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to be able to share the gospel with them. That might come very early on. It might come after a little bit. But just out of curiosity, did anybody invite anybody recently to an event? Okay, Debbie? Okay, to dinner. All right. Okay, very good. And do you have it scheduled then? Oh, you, okay, very good, okay. Okay, all right, that's a good way to do it. And Sean, did...
I didn't invite anybody, but we went to an event.
Oh, okay, so okay.
I was talking a little bit, and we've known each other a little while, but I was praying for an opportunity, so I'm hoping that it might come.
Yeah.
Because I see him fairly often.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anyone else? Okay. I've shared this before, but there's a couple that have moved into town here, and he is a coworker or was a coworker of mine 25 years ago. And I think I shared with you is right. We'd become brand new believers at the time. And I went fishing with him, had an opportunity to share the gospel with him at that point in time. But I was a brand new believer and not in a proper frame of mind to share it. But anyway, the Lord has brought this fellow back into my life. And I got to talk to him again yesterday morning. And we're going to be having him along with a few other folks over for a game night. So anyway, looking forward to that. All right. Little bit of review. We looked last week at the aspect of attitude, because even good news can seem terrible if it's not communicated in the proper way. And I told you the story about the guy that was up at the Mormon conference. This was many years ago, and he was out there supposedly witnessing to people, but he was being very aggressive, very mean in how he did it. In fact, at one time, he actually had a Book of Mormon on a string, and he was dragging it across the sidewalk in front of him. And that isn't going to win anybody, that kind of an attitude. So it's very important that as we communicate the words of love and truth, we communicate them with a loving attitude. All right, and I gave you last week 5 features of a godly attitude in sharing the gospel. Does anybody remember any of those 5 features? Okay, one of them was to speak in love. That was number 4.
Pray for opportunities.
Okay, pray for opportunities. And that not only presents opportunities, God will bring those opportunities, but it puts us in a right frame of mind in looking for those opportunities. So pray for opportunities. Another one?
Take the opportunity.
Take the opportunity when it comes up. I don't know if any of you here have ever prayed for an opportunity and then the opportunity came up and you didn't take it. I've been there. I've done that, and you leave that opportunity with regrets. So, all right. So, praying for an opportunity, taking the opportunity. The last 3 all have to do with speaking. We already have speaking in love, speaking in wisdom. Okay, and what? Okay, that was kind of right before we looked at the attitude. We talked about using Bible words and Bible phrases with Bible definitions. But as far as attitude goes, praying for an opportunity, taking the opportunity, speaking in grace, all right, showing them favor, even though they may not deserve favor, okay? And then speaking in love and speaking in wisdom. and some of the elements of speaking wisdom. This is kind of how we ended last week, was don't get caught up in foolish arguments. Don't be argumentative. In fact, I have found that as soon as I start arguing, love has left. All right. So don't be argumentative. Be gentle. Be able to teach. And really, able to teach simply is a matter of being able to point them to what God says. And then be patient, knowing that the person that you're sharing with, your goal is to share the message. It's not to convert them. Your goal is to share the message. The Holy Spirit will do the actual work there. But we need to be patient, because most often there are a whole bunch of seeds that are planted for a very, very long time before any kind of harvest is reaped. And then humbly correct those who oppose. And I think we're going to talk about this a little bit again later on, but not talk about it, but just kind of repeat it. It's good to repeat things. But humbly correcting those who oppose is really helping them to understand that as we're sharing, we're not sharing Craig's opinion. Okay? This isn't my opinion. It isn't us arguing me against you. It's you against the Word of God, okay? This is the authority, and we can humbly correct those who oppose by simply showing them, well, you know, this is what God says. All right. So we've seen the importance of clarity and simplicity. We've seen the importance of using Bible words and Bible phrases, Bible definitions. We've seen these encouragements concerning our attitude and being simple, clear, and biblical. But tonight's lesson is all about actually getting started and actually sharing the gospel. Okay? It's taking that first step in doing what we've been commissioned to do. Now, thus far, everything that we've looked at has kind of been, it's been foundational. It's kind of been the acquiring of the tools that we need to share it. And tonight, we're going to look at actually using those tools. I think I've mentioned in the past that I am a do-it-yourselfer. If I have a hobby, that is it. Virtually any kind of personal do-it-yourself project, I love that. And as a result of that, though, I actually have a lot of different kinds of tools. I think I also mentioned in the past that years ago, Janine had bought for me an arc welder. And I did not like arc welding. I did a little bit in high school. I have no idea why she bought me this thing. All right, but I had it, and it was actually a few years before I ever got to use it, or I have ever needed to. But then that time came, and I remember well getting that welder out for the very first time, getting it all set up, turning it on, putting my shield on, striking that welding rod on the metal for the very first time, and thinking, man, that is a lot of voltage. That is a hot flame. It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary. But here I am now, 35 years later, and while I'm still not great at welding, I do it several times a year. I have welded up some rather large projects now, and it's really not that scary anymore. And so it is really with sharing the gospel. You know, the more you do it, the more confident you will become in allowing God to use you in that regard. But I tell you, if you were to ask the average believer, what's the most difficult part of sharing the gospel? The most common answer is getting started. Just actually opening our mouth and asking that question or making that statement. And people are. intimidating. Many people are very disinterested in the truth of God's word, disinterested really in anything but the temporal. Some people are rude. Some people are mean, and they can be scary, all right? So tonight we're going to talk about getting started. And while it's not uncommon to get opportunities to share the gospel, even with complete strangers, while we should, I think, seek to take even those opportunities, one of the ways to get started is to build a little bit of a rapport with that person, whoever it is we're sharing with, to build a rapport. And a rapport simply means a sympathetic or a common connection. Just finding something in common with them. So building a rapport with a person is to find similar ground or interest that really connects us together in some way. Now, I've known people that can go up to complete strangers, and I've done this a few times, but I know people that regularly go up to complete strangers and just ask them, do you know where you're going to spend eternity when you die? Okay? And they do it in a loving way, and in certain circumstances or environments that may be effective. Upon the request of a sister in Christ, I once went to the hospital here in town to share the gospel with her brother, who I didn't know at all. I'd never met him before that, and who was also on his deathbed. And she specifically told me that if you tell him I sent you, he will not listen to you. She had shared the gospel with him many times. He claimed to be an atheist, and really in her words, she said, he hates me because I'm a Christian. Well, that was the kind of scary situation I was walking into. But I went into his room and I told him, hey, I'm a pastor here in town, and I'm just here to minister to people. And I asked him, would you mind if I shared the good news of Jesus with you? And with no hesitation at all, he said, yes, please share it. I have some questions. So I shared the gospel with him, answered a few questions, and he trusted Christ right there and then ended up going home to his Lord a few days later. But I have known people that do that sort of thing all of the time with strangers that are not even on their deathbed. But I have found, really, while these instances like that I think are rare, I found that taking some time to build a rapport with a person can make a difference. And really, the truth be known, this fellow in the hospital had seeds of the gospel planted in him for many, many years with someone that he did have something in common with. Okay? And I just happened to be the person that God used that day to harvest the fruit. Okay, so building a rapport is something that we can, it's kind of a way to not only establish that connection, but lead up to the leading the person to the Lord. And I'm going to give you just four things I think that are important in building a sincere rapport with someone. And again, I don't want this really, I don't want this to be about technique. I don't want you to have a notepad with you when you go meet somebody, okay? I want this to be natural, but if I tell you and you write it down, subconsciously it's going to be there, and I'm hoping it could be a help for you someday. But four things that I think are important in building a sincere rapport, and the first one is conversation. Converse with the person. Just strike up a conversation about something. Go to John chapter 4 if you have your Bible with you. John chapter 4, and for those of you that are familiar with the Gospel of John, this chapter largely deals with Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is someone he'd never met before, but you'll see that he does go through a few of these, I'm not going to call them steps, but certainly characteristics in building a rapport with someone. Let me read to you verses 1 through 7. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" Now, what did Jesus do to strike up a conversation? Okay, asked for a drink. What is the subject matter that he has in common with this woman?
Thirsty.
Thirsty. Okay, we're on the same ground here. We're both thirsty. All right. Which, by the way, was something he had in common with this woman. Obviously, she came to the well because she was thirsty too. You know, you and I, especially us as men, we can go to Walmart and we can sit down on one of those benches that they have out there by the front, by the cash registers. I think they still have them, but anyway. And the first man that comes and sits by you is probably waiting for his wife too. Okay? And that's a conversation starter. It's a conversation starter. We can start a conversation with that. So converse, okay? Conversation. We've now opened our mouth and we spoke. The second part here, second characteristic, is concentration. And specifically, concentrate on what they say. Really, this is us listening. Just listening. Not half-heartedly, but earnestly, so we can begin to learn what maybe some of their interests are, where we do have that common ground. Verse 9. "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Now, before we get to Jesus' answer, and we are going to see in the process here that he really did earnestly listen to her, okay? But before we get there, what she says addresses a huge issue that was contemporary to the time and obviously was an interest of hers. Anyone know what that issue was? Anyone that has a little bit of background into Samaria?
Well, Samaritans were a mixture of Jewish and local.
Okay.
Canaanites, possibly Ammonites and Moabites. They were just probably part Jewish.
Okay. And what did that mean?
Well, that's people that were fully Jewish and could trace their lineage looked down on the Samaritans.
Right. Okay. All right. So just to repeat that for recording purposes, Yeah, Samaria, the Jews that lived in Samaria, many of them were there because they had married into other races, and as a result, weren't of a pure lineage, and the pure Jews really looked down. I mean, it wasn't just a little bit. They really looked down on these Samaritans, and to have a man who she obviously identified as a Jew come and actually speak to her and request something from her, this was huge. This was huge for her, okay? So here is Jesus, a Jew who strikes up a conversation with a Samaritan, but not only a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman, okay? You know, there was quite a divide there, too, in that time. So this immediately sparks her interest that Jesus would talk to her, and she brings up this huge issue of her day and her place. Now, is there anything happening in the world today that has captivated the interest of people? Okay, COVID. COVID-19, that's right. I'm amazed at how often I find myself talking about it, but at the same time, it seems like no matter what group I'm in, at some point in time, it comes up, and it has captivated the interest of a lot of people. And really just being up to date on things that are happening in our world, especially tragedies that involve the death of people, as morbid as that may seem, as uncomfortable as that may be, death gets people thinking about spiritual things. It really does. In the realm of Christian functions, where the gospel might be shared, Christian events, I have seen more people come to faith in Jesus Christ at funerals than I ever have at weddings. All right, just because death, it's something that everybody's got to deal with at some point in time. Except for us, where we know we're hoping for the Lord. We want him to come anytime. But death is something that we are probably going to have to deal with. And just on that note, as we talk about the fact that death gets people thinking about spiritual things, concerning COVID, know, and as you, I'm sure you already do, that it can be a very divisive issue. So if you use it to point a conversation, or as the point of conversation, stay away from the political aspects of it, okay? That might distract from the spiritual aspects of it. But the whole point in listening and concentrating on what they say is to find that point of interest that will make a connection, okay? And that really is the next characteristic in building rapport. It comes down to that connection, all right? So we've talked to them, we've listened to them and discovered what's on their mind. All right. And we can even bring up some of those issues, like with COVID and the death rate and all of that. And then we connect with them. We talk about what they talked about. Okay. We sympathize with them. How did Jesus sympathize? Well, he did it in a very interesting way. He ignored the fact that there was a huge rift between Jew and Samaritan, and he continued to engage her in spite of it. He actually demonstrated his interest in her by continuing the conversation. Verse 10. So Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So here he is. She brings up this issue of her place and her time, something that obviously concerned her, something that caught her attention as this Jew spoke to her. And she wonders, here I am a Samaritan woman, and you're asking me for a drink. And he doesn't really even address the temporal issue, the Samaritan issue. He takes that and runs with it. In verse 10, he says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. He brings it immediately to a spiritual thing. He moves beyond the issue she brought up and offers really the solution to it, to get her thinking about who he is and what he can offer. He conversed with her. He concentrated on what she said. He made that connection. And then in verses 11 and 12, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as his sons and his livestock? All right. Now, obviously, the details of Jesus sharing the good news about himself, okay, it comes from a perspective that we cannot emulate. But the approach in building that rapport and making that connection, I think is a wonderful model. He conversed with her, he concentrated on what she said, and he connected with her, and then he commenced with a spiritual statement, all right? So commencement is the fourth characteristic. That's actually moving from the temporal issues and making it spiritual now. Jesus takes the topic at hand and brings it from the physical to the spiritual. Verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. When the time was right, Jesus commenced with a spiritual statement about eternal life and how to get it. Now, there will be times when a spiritual statement is appropriate, as we're talking to somebody about eternal life. But I think oftentimes in a one-on-one situation, asking a question is really a good way to determine just how interested that person really is in spiritual things. And I have a few questions that you can ask. And with each of these questions, they're kind of build on top of one another. You can ask one or more than one of these, but I think they do a few things for us. Number one, they open the topic of the spiritual. Number two, we get to see just how interested they are in the spiritual. And then also, as we ask these questions, it helps us to determine where they are spiritually. Okay? And having spoken, let's say, of COVID deaths, having spoken about the devastation and deaths of maybe the recent tornadoes or whatever is going on in the world at the time, our first question might be, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? Do you mind if I ask you a personal question? So now they know that what you're about to ask involves these tragedies on a personal level. And if they don't mind, and they rarely do, then ask them one or several of the following questions. And these are, some of these may be familiar to some of you, I don't know, but they're good questions to open the topic to spiritual things. Here's a question. Do you know if you will go to heaven when you die? All right, so we've been talking about the 377,000 lives that have been lost in this country alone that have been connected to COVID. It's tragic. The death rate of 2020 definitely was higher than 2019 and 2018 and 2017. In fact, I just looked up those stats today, so it's a real deal. And we've talked about this, the death. Do you know where you're going to go after you die? You know, do you know if you're going to go to heaven when you die? And just know that that one is not recommended for hospital visits, for they may think that you know something they don't. All right. But in casual conversation, it's a straightforward question concerning death. Do you know if you'll go to heaven when you die? And it's a great question that will reveal where they are spiritually. Here's another one. What do you think you have to do to get to heaven? Okay, and most people who know not the Lord will begin building a list. Okay, they'll tell you what they think they have to do. This question right here is actually one that our counselors up at camp often use as they get to know, as they build that rapport with their campers. On a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that you'll end up in heaven when you die? And why? Okay, 1 meaning I have no idea, 10 meaning I'm confident, all right? And then ask them why. In fact, our counselors at camp will often have them, their campers, write a name on a card and then the answer to the question. And now they've got this card and they've got some wonderful information to begin with. Not only can they actually determine which of their campers have placed their faith in Christ, but they can determine pretty much where all of them are spiritually, how much they understand about the truth of God's word. And then a question that can be in conjunction with any one of those three is, has anyone ever shown you right from the Bible how you can be sure you're going to heaven? Okay? Has anyone ever shown you right from the Bible how you can be sure that you are going to heaven? And again, with each of these questions, their answer is going to reveal a lot about where they are spiritually and how you can then best share the gospel with them. Now, on occasion, you might ask a question like one of these. And as you're trying to build a rapport with a person, as you ask the question, they answer by sharing the gospel with you. Have you ever had that? Where you meet somebody and it turns out they're a Christian? Okay, all right. It happens, and it's an exciting thing. Anyway, with each of these questions, again, their answer is going to reveal where they are and how you might best share with them. Most will answer, non-believers anyway, will answer with a works-based response, some with an atheistic response, some will answer with kind of a universalistic response, okay? Is that a word? Universalistic.
Sounds good.
All right. But regardless of what their response is, this now opens the door to share what God says. So we've built the rapport, and now we've asked that spiritual question, and we can begin leading them to the Word of God. And this really, what we're going to move on to right now is the center, okay? This is the center of everything that we have looked at and everything else that we are going to look at from here on out, all right? We now come to the actual mechanics of sharing the gospel, the speaking of the actual words of good news to a person. And within this, I want to give you three general ways. We're only going to get to the first one tonight, but three general ways that we can share the gospel. And the first one is the most effective way. The most effective way to share the gospel is using scripture. Okay? The most effective way to share the gospel is using scripture. So, why is scripture the most effective way? Sean? Okay, the Word of God is living and active. In fact, let's go to a few passages. Keep a marker here in John 4. I think we'll make it back there tonight. Keep a marker in John 4 and go to Hebrews 4:12. And I just want to show you a few passages of Scripture here that show, not only show the effectiveness of God's Word, but I'm showing them to you so that we can have confidence, so that our confidence is in it and not us. All right. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, there's a lot of ways that we can apply that passage. And I think in the context, it is talking about its work in the believer's life. But it's just as powerful in anybody else's life. And what it does is as you read or quote the Word of God, it goes with power and it will penetrate the hearts of people. I have a friend of mine, and somebody shared the gospel with him, and they quoted a verse of scripture, and it was kind of it's not a common salvation passage, but it resonated with this fellow to the degree that it was short enough and the guy said it enough that he actually somewhat memorized it. And when he got home that night, he kept repeating it over and over and over again in his head. It had penetrated his heart, and it was doing a work in him, even with this guy that shared the gospel with him, even with him gone. Okay? That's the power of it. It will convict. My pastor from years ago, he said the Word of God will, as you're sharing the gospel, as you share any truth from God's Word, one of two things will happen in that person that you're sharing with, if he's an unbeliever. He says he's either going to believe it or he's going to get angry. All right? And maybe in his mind, in his heart, he may not express it outwardly. But either way, my pastor said, the Word of God has done what it needed to do. It convicted him either way. And that's the Word of God. Let's go to another one. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." See, anytime the word of God is present, the Spirit of God is present too. And it's the Spirit of God that is going to convert a person. It is the Spirit of God that is going to woo a person to faith. Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16, Paul there says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So here's Paul, probably the most educated, ambitious, and passionate. I can't say that for sure, but from his writings it resonates that he was a passionate apostle, educated. And he says, you know, it's not me that's the power. It is the words of the gospel. That's the power right there. And then Isaiah 55:11. Again, I'm just giving you these. I know a lot of these are familiar to you, but I'm giving you these to not only show you that the power is in the Word, but so that as we share, we can know that our confidence should be in the Word of God. Isaiah 55:11. God here says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And sometimes it may get somebody angry. Sometimes someone might believe it, but either way it is done. It is convicted. It is done exactly what God sent it out to do. All right, so the most effective way to share the gospel is using scripture. And I want to give you a few ways to do that. And these are, again, not necessarily techniques, but helps. I want you to know that you can share the gospel. I'd love you to get to the point where you can share the gospel from what you've got locked in your head. And there are a number of ways to do that, a number of little sequences, I guess, that you can use. First is to use the five truths. I don't know if you still have that sheet of paper. Does everybody have one of these? No? Okay, I got a few more here. Who wants one? Jim, you want one?
Anybody else? Oh.
Okay, these five truths, these are what we went through before Christmas. This right here on this page is really the doctrine of the gospel, and you can use it to share the gospel. What is the first truth? God's demand is perfection. And what scripture could we show a person that tells them that God is perfect? There's a handful of them on the sheet. I mean, that's not all of them. But really, any passage that talks about his holiness, all right? Some of these do that. Some of these share from a little bit different perspective. So the first demand is, God's demand is perfection. Okay? What is the second truth? Man's condition is imperfection. Okay. And what is a scripture that we can show a person that tells them that man is not perfect? Okay, you memorized one, right? Romans 3:23 is a great place to go. All right, that's the second church. And we're out of time. So we're going to continue this, but you can use these five truths right here to share the gospel. In fact, more often than not, just because I tend to have this locked in my head a little bit more, I will use this just about every time I share the gospel. But it's a great way to do it, and it uses scripture. But we are out of time. So we got a minute or two if you have questions or comments on what we've looked at tonight. Anything?
How do you get through that? The first step is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, as it said. The second step, they go, well, what do I do? And the problem is, so many things are on the days you have to do something to earn it. And you can say, well, you don't have to really earn it, but.
Sure.
Because the whole scripture is designed to, now that you've accepted me, what do you need to do?
Yeah.
So there is that but. And
there is. It is a, how I typically answer that question or move that person from, okay, they've just become a child of God. I will let them know, I'm going to pray for you as you begin your new life as a child of God. But along with that, let them know, you know, God loved you enough to do this for him. And the proper response now is to love him back. And you do that with your life by living a life that's pleasing to him. And yeah, my plan is actually, I don't imagine that this sharing the gospel series is going to take us all the way through April. So we're going to probably somewhere mid-March transition into discipleship a little bit and look at that next step. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay. All right. Well, let's close our time in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for tonight. Thank you for counting us as your children through faith in Christ and in his righteousness accounted to us. But Lord, we also thank you for the opportunity to love you in return and be used by you, empowered by you in the lives of others, so that they can be your children too. Thank you for the detail that you give us in scripture. Even Lord, thank you for this account with Jesus and this woman at the well and how he moved her from a point of interest from physical into spiritual things. And I pray, Lord, that we could use that model in our life as we get to share with those around us. Thank you again for tonight. Ask your blessing upon our the rest of our evening, a good night's sleep, Lord, and a great rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen.